Found out during the break that Daryl has takes on fan practices at sporting events.
Oh yeah,
I guess some of the promotional stuff that goes on during games too. So we'll get into it.
The president derailed my show yesterday. I had big plans for the Sunday show with Nick Pedone, and the president derailed it.
Send him a message on Truth.
Yeah, you should hit him up.
Hey, I was hoping the president was going to call in. He was so passionate about it.
Hey, like, listen, I think
I would have taken his call. Would have treated him with respect. Given, let him say his piece.
I think there's a common ground here, honestly, with this whole thing. If Trump wants them to change their name back to Indians, I think the Dolans should find a way to leverage, like, hey, give us a tax break or help us out a little bit.
They just got a ballpark renovation.
Inject some money into the organization, and then I think we all get what we want. The fans will get the name back.
A catcher that can hit.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
Like, a right fielder that doesn't have
a wrist sprain.
If he can help make these things happen, the fans get everything they want. They get the name back, and they get a team that can maybe win a World Series. I mean, it's a win-win.
Here's the problem. The president might keep the trophy if they go to visit the White House.
That is true. He did take credit for the Red Sox win streak after they visited the White House. So, 216-474-992. Browns training camp. 2 days away, Daryl. Is the excitement palpable within you? Can you not wait to be out there in Berea? As you laugh,
I'm going to get my sunscreen today.
You're not excited about this quarterback competition?
No, I'm not. I really am not, because
you've seen a lot of them over the years. So
yeah,
I get that.
I've never seen a four man. So listen,
hey, you think you've seen it all, and then the Browns give you a four man competition.
This is both the blessing and the curse of covering the Cleveland Browns. Okay, is you get to see stuff that you've never seen before, and you hope to never see again.
That offense last year,
and so here's why I'm not excited about the four man quarterback competition. Number one, I don't believe it's a four man quarterback competition. But to be factually accurate and communicating to their fans, I have to continue to say that it is. And then also too, I don't see a long-term solution here. I feel like it's a four-man quarterback competition for the Band-Aid. You know, we're not competing for the franchise guy here. It's just to get through the 17-game schedule or get through the first six games and then reassess when you get back from London or something like that. I'm not excited about it. I don't think that it's going to be what everyone is expecting it to be, just based on how they have worked it so far.
You think they're sort of setting it up for a certain outcome?
Yeah, I do.
I don't want to say rigging it, but I think it is kind of they're playing it a certain way where
I think they have an outcome in their mind.
Yeah.
And so, but they're going to give everybody an equal opportunity. I'm not going to say that they're rigging it or they're tilting the scales, but like,
I mean, I
feel like they're going to put guys in position to just like validate or
how they
give
how they
them
view.
The, hey, let's not do this because it's not going to work. Like, I don't feel like this is a true, honest to goodness four man competition, especially because I don't think you can do a true, honest to goodness four man competition. Because what they did, and you saw it too, Spencer, being out there in Berea during OTAs and during minicamp, they put the veteran quarterbacks on one field, they put the rookies on another field.
Yeah.
And the veterans got to work with the top of the roster personnel, and the rookies got to work with the bottom half of the roster personnel. And I don't know how you can equally, properly, however you want to describe it, evaluate and grade those results.
Well, especially when like the game changes at training camp. You go from, hey, we're installing things, we're getting guys acclimated.
It's ramp up
this
period.
This is now we're getting ready for a season. I'm with you. Like, I I'm not going to use the word rigged. I don't think it's rigged, but I do think they are sort of, they're going to manage this a certain way where they, I think, get the outcome, or maybe there's two outcomes that they view as more likely, and they're going to sort of lean into those. And what I mean by that is, like, I think we all feel pretty comfortable saying that we think one of the veterans is going to start week one. I think they're going to set it up for those guys to get most of those reps. And then when the other guys don't, when the rookies don't, or the rookies, like, you see them here or there, and they maybe look good, they'll just give you the answer of, like, well, there wasn't enough reps to go around, so we didn't get a chance to evaluate those guys fully, and they're going to get more time. Like, they can play it off as something. But I do think that's where it's headed. Now, but along those lines, Daryl, like, because I do think people also have the same thought we have on this competition. I think they view it as, hey, they're already kind of setting it up for the veterans to be the guys who maybe win the job. I think that makes this even more polarizing to some degree for fans and even more controversial for fans because everybody seems to have their stance on who they like best or who they want to see win the job. Is there an outcome, Daryl, that appeases everybody or makes everybody feel like, hey, I can live with this. I'm happy with it. We can start the season with this guy and I'm good with it. Or is it just going to be divisive no matter what?
It's going to be divisive no matter what. look, there's a case to be made that they will keep. First of all, eventually they got to vote somebody off the island. Okay. You're not going through 17 games with four quarterbacks. Now, the question will be, will they maintain the four quarterbacks through the initial 53, then jettison one the following day on Wednesday after, because everyone in the NFL's called your bluff about keeping all four quarterbacks, right? And really, there's nothing to be gained by keeping or trying to keep an extra linebacker, a safety. You know what I mean? Like, that 53rd spot. Like, it's not the it's not completely the end of the world if they keep all four of these quarterbacks out of the gate. But again, they're going to have to make a move and get down to three. You're not getting any of these guys through waivers, okay? So you can't even do that. Here's the other part of this, though, that people need to understand when it comes to these rookies. And this isn't me taking a shot at Dylan Gabriel. This isn't me taking a shot at Shedeur Sanders. But I have to stress, as I remind you, Dylan Gabriel's a third-round pick. Shedeur Sanders is a fifth-round pick.
Don't tell some people that.
Okay? In no universe should either one of them start week one of an NFL season as a third or a fifth-round pick. Now, if one of those guys was a first-round pick, or I will even grant you a second-round pick, then I can legitimately say, yeah, that guy should be competing for the starting job and should be close to being able to contribute.
You invested a higher pick in him. It makes sense, yeah.
Dylan Gabriel, taking him in the third round, that's a project. Shedeur Sanders was a, yeah, what the heck. He's still available. Let's get our buddies in Philadelphia on the phone. We're good with this draft. Let's give them the rest of our picks. Why not? Let's just take Shedeur and see if we strike lightning in a bottle. They had no intention of drafting Shedeur Sanders initially until day three when he was still on the board in the fifth round. So, like, for fans that are itching for Dylan Gabriel, Shedeur Sanders to start, like, slow the roll. I get it because Browns fans are eternally optimistic and nothing gets them more excited than potential.
Yeah.
Because potential always trumps reality here in Cleveland or the present. Okay? It always does. The only thing that organization has to sell to its fans are stadiums, uniforms, and potential. That's it. They don't sell winning because they don't win with consistency. You get a winning season once a decade. Okay, well, to be fair to this regime, you get two winning seasons in 5 years, right? But the other 3 years were complete disasters. So, like, I get fans who want to cling to Dylan Gabriel could be the hope, or Shedeur Sanders could be the hope.
Yeah.
I get that. But, like, let's take an emotional step back and be realistic about the situation. These are third and fifth round picks. It's not fair. It's not realistic to expect either one of these kids to win this competition. If they do, God bless them.
Yeah.
Best of luck. Great for you and all the good things there, right? But, like, let's just be realistic about this. You're talking about third and fifth round picks, not first or second round picks. All right. And if one of these kids, I think Shedeur Sanders has a better chance of turning into a franchise quarterback than Dylan Gabriel does. All right. When I'm watching practice and there's plays, and the only way I know where Dylan Gabriel is on the field is because I see the lineman moving to the left or to the right. That's not good. Okay. You know, Drew Breeses don't grow on trees. Like, let's just be honest. And I hope that Dylan Gabriel is the next Drew Brees. I hope Shedeur Sanders is the next your favorite mobile quarterback here, right? it's not that I'm rooting against them. It's not that I don't believe in them. It's just I'm trying to be very pragmatic and realistic about the situation. These are third and fifth round picks. They traded for Kenny Pickett. They gave up nothing to get him, but they're clearly intrigued by him and feel that they can fix whatever is broken with him, right? Joe Flacco, we know how fans feel about him here because what he did in 2023. But again, no disrespect to Joe.
Yeah.
He's over 40 years old.
So
if he wins the competition, he's a Band-Aid too because he's not a long-term solution.
Yeah, which honestly might be what they're hoping for anyways, just a Band-Aid to get the next year and then draft their real franchise
quarterback. No long-term solutions available to me equal no excitement.
Darryl, I think you laid out nicely like the outlook of the entire room, where the team's heads are kind of at with it, what we should sort of expect in that regard. What I will say to answer my original question, we will ask John Doss about this here in about 7 minutes or so on The Fan. I think the answer that appeases the most people, I think, is Joe Flacco. And I think a lot of it just has to do with like what he did in 2023. We know how the fan base largely feels about him. Yes, he's a Band-Aid, but he's easy to kind of, you know him, you've seen him, you like him for the most part. He's easy to digest. I think everybody else is controversial for some reason. Kenny Pickett, people think he's no good. He played for the Steelers. The rookies, people don't like Dylan Gabriel because they don't think he's going to be very good because of his stature. People don't like Shedeur Sanders because they think he's too cocky. Whatever the reasons might be, if there's an answer to this question of who appeases everybody, who wins this competition, I think Flacco's the closest to it. But even that'll be controversial because there'll still be people who are like, they shouldn't even waste their time starting Flacco. They should start Shedeur Sanders.
He gets a 6 to 7 week runway, too. If he wins the job and it's Joe Flacco, it's like, you got the first 6 and 7 games, and then we get to reevaluate where we are.
Is there a quarterback outcome that appeases everyone that isn't going to be divisive?
Back out of here on The Fan, Spencer German, Darryl Ryder, filling in for Ken and Lima this morning. And we have our first guest of the show as we get you closer and closer and count you down. The Browns training camp, it starts on Wednesday. The excitement is palpable. I can feel it in the air here in downtown Cleveland, especially from Darryl Ryder. He can't wait for this four-man competition at quarterback.
I am just, you know, I can't wait.
We go out to the fan hotline, and we'll find out how excited John Doss, News Channel 5, is about this four-man quarterback competition. John, I think I'm finally talking to you at a time where I don't think you're traveling, so that's exciting.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm not excited to be up at 8:20.
Did we wake you up?
There's only two things that I get up this early for. It's to get my kids ready for school or to play golf. So this shows how much I like the two of you.
I appreciate that.
We appreciate you taking one for the team here.
I literally woke up. I said I had an alarm set for 8:15. I woke up 5 minutes.
Oh, so you do what I do when I join the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony DeLima at 8:20 every Monday and Friday. Set the alarm for 8:15.
And then they ask you a question like, hey, were you? I don't know if you were listening beforehand, and you were like, no, I wasn't listening beforehand.
I was sleeping.
There is an entire population of people that work at News 5 that I have never met, and I've worked there for 7.5 years, and it is the morning show people.
There's no like office Christmas party where you like actually get to meet them out in the wild at all. You've never met them.
Not in 2025, Spencer.
That's fair. Yeah, COVID did change a lot of that stuff. John Doss joining us on the show. John, we were just talking about it before you came on. I don't expect you to have heard it because you were sleeping. Is there an outcome to this quarterback battle, quarterback competition, that appeases the fan base the most and isn't quite as divisive?
No.
That's what Darryl said.
Look, you know that you can either be bad or you can be uninteresting. Both of them are not good. At least the Browns will be bad and interesting, I think. And maybe they catch us off guard and Joe Flacco catches lightning in a bottle like he did a couple of years ago, and they're successful. They challenge for a postseason spot, maybe not even make a postseason spot. But this will be nothing if it's not interesting, because I do believe we will see all four of these quarterbacks starting at some point during the season, because I think this is more of an informative season than people want to believe. And I know that that's hard to say before they've even kicked off training camp. But I think that the writing is on the wall, both for fans and for this organization, that the reason we're going to see all four of these guys is because it's not going to be a very successful season.
John, I have contended that it's a little unrealistic to expect Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders to win this quarterback competition just because, like, the reality is they're third and fifth round picks. That's no disrespect to either one of those kids, but, like, neither one were drafted with franchise quarterback in mind. Like, they're both projects for the Browns, and that's why I argue this isn't a four-man competition, it's a two-man. Somebody's getting voted off the island, either Joe Flacco or Kenny Pickett. They seem to really love Kenny Pickett, and they feel like they can fix him. Do you believe that, setting aside what happened in Pittsburgh and some of the ugliest offensive football you'll ever watch, that Kevin Stefanski, Tommy Rees, and the offensive coaching staff can fix Kenny Pickett and turn him into something?
Well, don't forget, we've seen some of the ugliest offensive football you can watch right here.
Yes, this is
with a different quarterback over the last couple of years, too. So, but we've also seen Kevin Stefanski with good veteran quarterbacks that understand how to run his system have immediate success. We saw it, obviously, with Flacco. We saw it with Jameis Winston before he started throwing the ball to the other team a bunch. I do believe that they can turn Kenny Pickett around. I don't know that they can turn him into a top 15 quarterback in the NFL, which is the big question. But to your point, they at least see a longer runway with Kenny Pickett. Joe Flacco may be able to go out there and have success for this team the first quarter of the season, the first half of the season, heck, maybe even the entirety of the season. But he is aging. He is old, and I feel comfortable saying that because I, too, am old.
As am I.
He's got more runway. He's got more runway with Kenny Pickett. And you know what? I like a little bit of bravado from a coach and a play caller to be able to say, I'm so good at this, that this guy that was cast away out of Pittsburgh, who had a terrible offensive coordinator there, and then backed up a team that won the Super Bowl, I'm so good at what I do that I can turn him around.
John Doss.
Is it going to be true? I don't know.
John Doss, news sports director, News Channel 5, joining us here on the show. Obviously, the rookie quarterbacks are going to be the center of attention. We know, John. But which of the rookies do you think is going to be under maybe the most pressure in year one, whether they play immediately or they play later? Like, once they're out there on the field, who maybe is going to experience the most pressure, you think, to succeed and perform?
Well, I think maybe Quinshon Judkins, for many reasons, if we see him play football this year. I think that he already had big shoes to fill with the departure of Nick Chubb, and now with the off-the-field issues, that's magnified. I would say Caleb Schlesinger. I think that linebacker position has been a question mark since I've been here for the last 7 years. You had the best linebacker you've had in this building in decades, and Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. He's not coming back. He leaves a major void there. Contrary to what Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski tell us, they had an idea that was going to be the case when they drafted Schlesinger. And from everything I've heard, this guy's been awesome so far in rookie minicamp, and we'll see if he can continue to do that, because if Schlesinger is not good, that entire linebacking core is not good again.
John, what is going to be for this to be, I guess, you used the term interesting. When you look at this upcoming season, what has to happen outside of the whole quarterback carousel we're expecting to watch for this season to be interesting, compelling for Browns fans if they're not able to win a lot?
I think if the young guys play well, and it is going to be interesting. I tell people that this preseason coming up on News 5 will be our most watched preseason ever. Even back in 2018 when Baker was here, because you're going to get entire halves of Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. And people are going to dial in to watch that. But I think if you see the young guys, if you see Mason Graham that you used an early first-round pick on, look like a guy that can anchor that defensive line alongside Myles Garrett for a decade. I don't know if Miles is playing for another decade, but Mason can be around for a long, long time. If Schlesinger looks good, if at least one, if not both, depending on the future of Judkins, these running backs look good, I think that's something that going forward with those two early first-round picks next year could energize a fan base. Because, let's be honest, there are far too many questions on this team at the moment to see this team pushing for at least a wild card spot. So you're going to have to pick those little things. You're going to have to look at the job that Andrew Berry did at the draft in April and see things trending in the right direction.
Again, John Doss joining us on the Fan Hotline. Sort of off of that, John, we know the quarterbacks are going to steal the show. You talked about it. It's going to be the main reason people tune into these preseason games. Is there a non-quarterback storyline that you're most interested in sort of following over the course of the next month or so leading up to the season?
Well, I think there's a ton of great storylines. That's why I say, like, they may not be very good this year, but they are going to be intriguing. I think there's a storyline at every position group. I think the only thing that we feel like we have a good grasp on is the secondary. And even still, as MJ Emerson, the player that he was last year, the player that he was 2 years ago, every other position group, we mentioned linebacker, we mentioned defensive line. What's this offensive line going to do? They took a major step back. Yes, injuries were an issue and have been the last couple of years, but they took a major step back without Callahan in that offensive line room. And then, of course, the running backs, quarterbacks, receiver. I mean, there are questions in every single position group, which for the most part would be terrifying as a fan and as somebody covering the team, right? But I think in a year where you got a lot of young pieces, you got a lot of turnover, and you've got an eye towards next year's draft, next April, I think it makes for an interesting season.
Is Mason Graham the least talked about top five draft pick ever?
Yes. And I think he probably loves it that way. I know Kevin Stefanski loves it that way. I think, and that doesn't that set him up for success? Because we have the most talked about fifth round pick of all time.
John, along those lines with Shador and being as talked about as he is, is it admirable to you that a guy that is, like, he's a fifth round pick right now? He hasn't earned anything. If he's going to win the starting job, it's going to be because he truly goes out and, like, dazzles and wins the job. But he's still going out and doing these things in the community. He's like, he is since day one he stepped in, it's like he's already walking the walk of a franchise quarterback. And so from that standpoint, I think that's something that the Browns should feel really excited about, because if he does hit, he's already got that other stuff taken care of. When all his other teammates are on vacations and all this different stuff, like, he's in Northeast Ohio, he's impacted the community, he's going to high schools and working out. I don't know. I was sort of captivated by the fact that in a town where this city's longed for a franchise quarterback for so long, you have a guy who's come in and is at least checking off a lot of the off-field boxes that people are looking for. And now, yes, it does just come down to, can he do it on the field?
I love this kid. I said last night that even if he's not a good quarterback, even if he never plays in a game for this organization, the Browns should hire him in the PR department because he knows what he's doing, and it's genuine. And all of the on-the-field things, he's got a long way to go. I think people look at a couple of passes on Twitter and say that the guy should be a starting quarterback in the NFL, when that is just a small percentage of what goes into being a starting quarterback in the NFL. There's so much that he has to grow in, and he knows that. He's got to grow in the film room. He's got to grow in preparation. But you're right. All of the things that he has done so far, from the time this kid got to town, he was at high schools, right? We see him out in the community. What he did at the Garden Valley Apartments, which, you know, underwent a terrible experience earlier this year. And to see those kids and even the adults light up when he showed up and spent the entire day with them, that's what it's all about. That's when I look at guys like Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and Donovan Mitchell in this town, players that get it, that understand that they have a true role within this community, and what them just showing up means to people in this town. And Shador got it right away. So, you know, there are many reasons why hitting on a fifth-round quarterback, becoming a franchise quarterback, is great for an organization. But I'm rooting for this guy even more now than I was before because of the things that we've seen him do outside.
100% agree with you, John. I want to go back to Junkins just for a second here, more so from a football perspective. Who carries the mantle? If he's not available, which I think that's a fair assumption, he's not going to be available at the beginning of the season, Who fills the shoes as the bell cow back until he's allowed to play football?
It's a good question, man. And I think that that's something that we're gonna have to figure out here in a couple of weeks. Obviously, they liked Samson enough to draft him. They didn't like him as much as they liked Judkins.
Right.
Jerome Ford is still there, right? Jerome Ford has shown capability in this offense the last couple of seasons with Nick Chubb out. So my guess is it's maybe Jerome Ford early on with the knowledge that we start moving some of these younger guys into place. It's going to really depend on Samson, right? How good is Samson in training camp? Does he look ready? But it's also, you know, Daryl, if this offensive line doesn't get it together and find what they had a couple of years ago, it's not really going to matter who the running back is.
That's true. The line is older. Unfortunately, it's not been healthy in recent years. But we've seen where they've been able to patch it, and I don't know that they're going to be able to patch that line in order to be as effective as they want to be in this. Which I'm calling it, they're going back to the Baker offense, right? More tight ends, more running backs, short, quick slant throws, get the ball out of the quarterback's hands. I think that's what we're going to see this year, John, don't you?
It is to be expected. Who among us is not older and less healthy than we were before?
That's a good way to put it. Very good way to put it. That's all we have on the show. Sports director, News Channel 5, John Doss, giving us a nice look into the Cleveland Browns here leading up to training camp on Wednesday. John, I don't know if you're somebody who can lay back down and actually fall back asleep. I know I am. My wife struggles with that. But if you are, we will let you go get some more sleep now.
My wife and kids are in California. I'm already up. I'm going to the golf course.
I was going to say.
So we did you a favor. We got you up early so you can get to your tee time on time. There we go.
Yeah, right. You did me a big favor.
He's John Doss. John, appreciate the time as always, my man. Thank you.
All right, boys.
Stay out of the rough. Stay out of the sand.
It does feel like Daryl, Jerome Ford is kind of that next man up to take that mantle. He's kind of like old reliable in this room at this point. Like every time a running back gets hurt, or every time a running back is no longer going to be around because of a potential suspension, there's Jerome Ford just waiting with open arms to take those reps and play. And I do think Jerome Ford has shown enough over the last couple of years that like, yeah, he can be your running back for a shorter period of time. He's not like your bell cow, year-long franchise guy at that position, but he can do some nice things, and so that makes some sense. It also, I think, obviously depends on how long, if at all, Quinshon Judkins gets suspended. Legal process has to play out. Kevin Stefanski is going to get asked probably first about that tomorrow, and that's probably going to be his answer. I'll tell it to you right now. But assuming, and I kind of think he might get a suspension here, especially after Mike Hall got one last year, if it's like 5-6 games, I think it makes sense that Ford's kind of that first guy getting those opportunities.
Well, another guy to keep an eye on will be Pierre Strong. You know, with Junkins, I'm assuming, and I want to stress that this is my assumption.
Yeah.
Based on, as you alluded to, how the Mike Hall situation was handled last year, I'm assuming that Judkins will not be available. And so I think that your running back room to start the season will be Dylan Sampson, Jerome Ford, and Pierre Strong. You'll have those three guys. So Pierre, in my view, had the Quinshon thing not happened, Pierre was the odd man out going into camp. Now all of a sudden, Pierre, in my view, is back in the fold.
Yeah, no, I think that's I kind of had the same perspective. Like if Pierre was, I think, probably on the fringe of like making the roster. They've kept four running backs after roster cut down day before, so maybe he would have been okay.
Yeah, but if they're keeping four quarterbacks on the roster,
that's a spot they got to open up now. Yeah. You're right. So now all of a sudden I'm like, okay, it feels more likely that Pierre probably makes this team now. If Quinshon suspended, at least in the beginning of it. You know what I think is interesting about the whole Quinshon situation too, Daryl, is like, I'm not saying Browns fans always find a way to talk themselves into some form of optimism, right? Like I think we see
oh yeah.
I remember people calling into the station back in 2017 saying like,
Don't count them out. There's more talent on this team than we're giving them credit for. And then we saw how that season went. Yeah, so.
I remember guys hosting this show with their name on the show.
I remember guys hosting this show saying that the preseason was a reason. Going 4-0 in the preseason
matters.
I have something I'm dying to say, but I'm going to bite my tongue.
We can do that off air.
It's okay. You can say it.
No, I can't.
You can say
nope,
it.
Nope, can't.
Well, just
you
on...
talked about politics for 90 minutes yesterday, Darryl. Can drop one little thing.
I most certainly did not talk about politics for 90 minutes yesterday. I talked about something that the president said
you safely,
related to the Cleveland Guardians.
You safely navigated a political sports topic for 90 minutes yesterday. You can safely,
I don't know if I did it safely either.
Well, you can say you're still
like walking
here.
On landmines.
You're allowed to show up to work today, but you can safely navigate whatever it is you're trying to say.
No, I'm not going there.
I need you to navigate this for me. You both can answer this. Quinshon Judkins does not have a contract yet, right?
Yeah.
How do we get through all of that?
Well, I think that
he's
legal.
He's going to have to take less money.
Well, I think first things first. Whatever legally is going to happen has to happen. Whether it's able to be taken care of is the wrong word or phrase. I apologize.
Sorted out. Figured
adjudicated
out.
Is yeah. Okay.
That's a good court word.
If it's adjudicated in a similar fashion to how the Mike Hall situation last year was, right, where it didn't go to trial. Lesser charge, all that kind of thing. If something like that happens and it gets resolved quickly, because the Mike Hall situation got resolved in rather quick fashion.
Yeah, it was also in Lorain County, not in Florida.
I understand and I respect that.
And he pled no contest to a lesser charge, right?
Again, I understand all that.
By the way, the charges is what's interesting here because like state to state, it's so different. I talked about this with earlier the day. He was like, you could get, like, what Quinshon did, he was like, I always thought domestic violence was, like, family member, whatever. And he was like, and in Ohio, I think that's kind of how it's defined versus, like, with that what Quinshon's accused of in Ohio might have only been ruled assault versus in Florida, they're calling it domestic violence. So it's two different things in two different states. Like, that, I know we're getting to, like, the weeds on it all. But like that minutiae, you know, complicates it a little bit further. Like,
different states,
you're right.
Different statutes.
How long is it going to play out? But I like the contract part of this is another interesting wrinkle.
He's not going. I don't think he's going to get a contract from the Browns until this is resolved.
Well, and
he's not getting it fully guaranteed.
Right, which is fascinating because on the end of this past week is where all these second round guys started finally signing because they were showing up to training camps and stuff. And both the guy before him that was taken and the guy that was after him that got taken, I think Eamon Worry was the one guy taken after him. Both those guys got fully guaranteed contracts.
Well, how can you fully guarantee his contract?
Well, you can't now. He wanted that because his peers were arguing for it. But if you're the Browns, like, I'm assuming there's some sort of clause in the contract now. Like, he definitely hurt himself financially.
Oh, 100%.
In terms of getting the money that he thought he was going to get from this rookie deal.
Absolutely.
So,
I mean,
yeah. It's... What I was trying to say earlier, though, Darryl, was like... And I've seen some people tweet this. There's always... Browns fans almost always find ways to, like, talk themselves into a season being something more than maybe what people are giving it credit for.
And then they hate me because I set them straight.
And I respect it. And listen, I've even talked the last couple weeks about, like, listen, if this, as we talked about with John, this offensive line can stay healthy, if they can run the football again, I think this team could have a decent season.
They can
decent,
find a way to stay right. competitive.
Like,
and
they
that,
can
but
win
that's
like seven, eight games with that. But now I've seen some people tweet it even as early as this morning, like, with the Quinshon stuff, if he's not there, like, that was part of the reason you were excited about the potential of this team maybe giving you something was because you had this new running back that you were excited about. I know Nick Chubb's gone, but it was kind of this new era. And now that new era is getting started on a very, very wrong foot.
Yeah, because all the fans are saying, we get rid of Nick Chubb
right,
for this.
Right, and so I think that's kind of sucked some of the air out of the excitement around this team leading up to training camp in these next couple days. Not to say we're not excited, but I do sense some of that from the fan base.
Well, training camp is way too long. Do I go on this soapbox now?
Okay, J.C. Turner.
Training camp
you gonna
is...
You going to vie for the NFLPA executive?
Training camp is way too long. Okay, the last Browns open practice, I believe, is going to be on August 4th, okay? And the Browns aren't going to play a football game until September
Over
7th.
Over a month.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. Training camp is entirely too long. Training camp should not start until the first week of August, in my view. have the rookies in the last week of July, and I get they play the Hall of Fame game the last week of July. Where
it's, so how are you going to game plan with the guys that you know you're keeping on the team? That's what you take that time period for, though, right?
It's still way too. It's just too long. You get 2 weeks before the final preseason game and the week one opener. It's too long.
From just a media standpoint,
it's ridiculous.
I agree with you on the sense
they're
of
gonna,
like,
listen, Wednesday they're going to practice for an hour. Thursday it'll be an hour and 15 minutes. Friday it'll be an hour and a half. Like, it's like, and you're not going to see anything.
I'm sorry that we don't do two-a-days anymore, Daryl.
No. I'm not advocating for two-a-days to
that's
return.
Ludicrous.
What's you were there when Flacco was talking about that.
Yeah. Joe Flacco's like me. He's the old man in the room. I'm the old man in the room now.
No, listen.
I host on Sundays. I'm the old man in the room. I come in, fill in with you. I'm the old man in the room. That's just my thing now.
As a member of the media that covers this team, I'm going to have like those first day of school jitters tomorrow. Like, oh, I can't wait to get out for training camp. But you're
really?
Right. By like the second week, the end of the second week, you're like, oh, this is just, this is still happening. You get in this business for stuff like this, right? Like the excitement of an NFL season. So I get excited. But then you're like, okay, I'm ready for the season by like the end of the second.
So until the president dropped the bombshell he did on us yesterday in the middle of my show, the question I was asking is, over under how many days before I'm sick of training camp?
Well, we can't ask that next.
I think we need to have a training camp intervention for you. You sound pretty down right now on this whole thing.
And not just sick of training camp, but sick of the quarterback competition.